going on, Rapids fans? Jordan here, and I am just finishing up a really cool chat with Kai Kamara. We headed out to Queen City Collective Coffee down in Denver off of Broadway, and we just sat down. We talked about Colorado and moving here and what he's excited about getting to do when he's here. Some memories he has from being back at the All-Star Game back in 2015, but we chatted a lot about the upcoming season, about his goals, about the one thing that he has on his mind that all of you guys are going to be really excited to hear. And we talked about a goal that he scored against Tim Howard back in the day, and it was his reaction to that was so funny. So you guys are really going to enjoy this. Kai not only makes you laugh, but he shares not only his MLS career, but his career in England, his career in Sierra Leone, and just his upbringing. So we get some pointers on social media, on his goal celebrations. We really, the whole gamut of everything that's going on in Kai's life. So you guys are gonna like this. So why don't you listen in as I sat down with Kai Kamara. It seems like wherever you go, you really have a good way of connecting with the community. Why does that mean so much to you?
That's huge, actually, the fact that I just did that, because starting that in the city, you have a lot to learn, you know, because if you don't do well, that jersey's coming down next day. No, I love it. I love being in I've enjoyed the travel. I've enjoyed the different places that I've lived at. And to me, it's connecting with, you know, people like this outside of soccer, you know, makes things worth a lot more. So when I'm on the field, I'm not just playing for the Rapids, but I'm playing for the people that support the Rapids, because later on when I do see them on the street, then we're able to have a good chat.
And I was going to say, are you cool with that? Are you cool with people stopping you on the street and hanging out with you, trying on your glasses that you're wearing?
Because I'm, you know, I'm the same way, you know, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the game, and you know, I still get starstruck. I still go around and see some players, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm hanging out with this guy, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
You've been in a few different places throughout your career, but Colorado's different, right? What are you excited about to kind of explore within Denver or the state while you're here?
Inhaling the good air. Inhaling good air so I can get younger and play longer. That's what everyone says. They, you know, you're going to be so fast, and you're gonna, you know, the altitude is gonna help you. But to me, I've been here a few times, played games over here. I have always enjoyed it. My first All-Star appearance was here in, you know, in Colorado. So there was always something about, you know, Colorado, and I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait.
And we knew we were gonna get you back because someone with our staff gave you a longboard, and it stayed in your car. You said
was
since you got that longboard.
Was that even legal? I don't even think. That was planting the seeds.
Yeah, planting the seed. Well, we're gonna
Colorado
have to see you
in your mind.
We're
gonna
have to see you take a longboard ride down the street at some point.
Definitely.
You've been at a few different franchises, seven different places, and you know you're not. It's not new to you to move your family across the country and changed location. But December, the Rapids trade for you, and just want to know where were you? What were you doing? Did that come as a surprise?
A little bit. A little bit of a surprise because, you know, to be honest, after the season that I had in Vancouver, I was expecting to stay in Vancouver. And there was a lot of things I was doing on the field and off the field. And at this stage of my career, you always want to find that one place where you do play for, you know, a few more years and see how it goes. So when I was back home for the holiday in Sierra Leone, and I got a phone call from my agent and told me that Vancouver is gonna pass on, I was shocked.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa. But the one thing about soccer, the one thing about life, period, it's always nice to be wanted. So if somebody says no, and then the first phone call that came in, but when he told me that was, but Colorado is very interested. And right when that comes about, I think the first thing I told him really was, hey, I have a skateboard in Colorado. I know, I'm not sure that's really what you want to hear, you know, from a soccer player, skateboarded. But he goes, no, serious, they're really interested. And I go, well, how much interest do they really have? And, you know, I got off the phone with him, and I'm still thinking, like, why am I not going back to Vancouver, you know? Mm-hmm. But then, again, when I thought about it over and over, and I go, well, it's good that a team right away says they want you and they want you to be part of the franchise. And I look at it and I go, well, that's a team that's won a championship. I want to win a championship. So this is going to be a good place to make the transition to. And he called me back 5 minutes, 10 minutes, kept calling me. Yeah. And finally I said, yes, let's have a chat.
Good. Well, you talk about winning a championship and you look at this club and really what they have done in the off season, right? Getting you, getting Nicholas Mosqueda, getting Diego Rubio, yeah, and Benny Fellhaber.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you at the aspirations that this club has?
That there's a direction. There's a direction that they want to go to. And to be honest, speaking with the coach and speaking with the GM to just know exactly, you know, the direction that the club wants to go was very positive. And it's very easy for you to make up your mind when somebody tells you, I'm getting this guy, this guy, this guy. And you know definitely they want to build that team and make that team stronger. No disrespect to how the team has been. And for me to be able to say, okay, I'm coming over with Benny, Nico, Diego. I mean, me and Nico coming from Vancouver, Benny played in Kansas City, but also we played in Orange County Blue Stars when we were growing up in California. So we know each other for so long. And Diego having a Kansas City connection. Yeah. So there's still a connection between all these guys. And then coming here to players where, you know, Timmy's been doing well over here. And then end of the season, they picked up Kellen. Mm-hmm. It's a team that's putting something very good together. And for me in my career, that's kind of how I've been going into team where they're trying to build something and make that franchise very strong, and ended up Kansas City winning the championship, Columbus, yeah, going into the final, and so on and so forth. So I'm very, very happy and glad to say I'm coming over here, so because I know there's a lot of work to be done.
Good. And you mentioned a couple of those players that you've played with, Nico and Benny. Give us an insight. Like, you have the insight to who these people are, not only as people but as players. Like, what can you tell the fans right now what to expect from these two?
They like me a lot.
Good start.
So they want to follow me wherever I go. No, I'm competitors. You know, competitors. Benny, I mean, the man has played in England also. He's played a few different teams. And when you can have players like that that's mixed with different cultures and different style of play, it's really good. Because then he knows what he wants and he knows, you know, what to do to achieve, you know, something very good. So you want to have people like that in your locker room. And so it's Nico. Being around Nico for the year that I was around Nico, he's one of the hardest worker. What did they say? Hardest, honest worker that you ever meet. You know, he puts his head down. He works nonstop. Sometimes he works too much. That's why, you know, the honest, yeah, worker. So it's really good to have those two guys and to say, you know, it's not one of those where I think, I kind of don't want to get back in the locker room with those guys. You know, I'm really excited to get back in the locker room with them.
And as a forward, nice to have those guys knowing that they're going to be helping you score the goals, hopefully.
Yeah, no, definitely. Benny's been, you know, assisting a lot of goals. You know, he scores goals for himself. But to have somebody like that behind you, but not just him, you know, at the same time, a young boy as Kellen, yeah, having people like that behind me, it's going to be great, you know, connecting with Diego, connecting with some of the younger boys that's, you know, being drafted into the team. To me, I just hope that I'm able to click with them, you know, fast enough so we can make an impact.
Yeah. You talk about clicking. Diego is a player that there's a lot of talk about you and him and how you two are going to connect together. What excites you about that relationship? Or are you one of those people that's like, let's just wait until we get on the field and we'll just show you guys?
No, it's good. It's good that, you know, when people do that, then they help you build a relationship. And if we can build a relationship, but it's not just between me and him, just like as you mentioned, some of the other guys around us, because as strikers, as forwards, we're not going to be, you know, as effective if we're not getting good plays from, you know, the midfielders or, you know, the outside backs and those things. But it's good that those seeds have been planted a little bit. But we have to put pressure on ourselves that we're not the only two strikers that's going to play for this team. You know, the other young boys are going to put, you know, pressure behind us. And I hope that that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Because if they push us, then they make us work even harder. But at the end of the day, it will benefit all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is a team from top to bottom. We look at the front. We have you up there now. We look in the back, and Tim Howard's in goal. Are you excited to be Tim's teammate? And what's your guys' relationship like?
Am I excited? Yeah.
I knew that. I was like, we're going to have a joke in here somewhere.
I am. No, it's good. You know, come on, it's Tim Howard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want him to be offended, but it's like saying Landon Donovan, you know? If you talk about U.S. soccer, those two names are the biggest names that you mention in U.S. soccer. And for me to be in the same locker room as him, it's going to be amazing. There will be, you know, some mature jokes between me and him. You know, I scored a goal against him back then, yeah, in England. Sorry, Timmy. So, but competitiveness, yeah. You know? He's a guy where I've heard a lot, and you know, from last year, on how he's trying to carry the team around, mm-hmm. and having more veterans around him, it's going to help mm-hmm. a lot. So in those ways, I know for sure we're going to click. And the competitiveness, I'm a competitive guy. And hopefully we're all, you know, on the same page, you know, fast enough to... I don't want to... What people are saying, it's a send-off for Timmy this year because, you know, it's the last year. No, he's, you know, he's a professional. He knows that. I mean, he did that, but... At the same time, he knows every day he has to show up, just like all of us are going to show up and want to play.
You kind of breezed by that, but I want to go back to what you just said about that goal in England, because you got to play in England, and a lot of people dream about that, right? Yeah. That's a big time. You played both in the Premier League and in the Championship with Norwich City and Middlesbrough, but second game with Norwich City, yeah. You get subbed on, and you're playing Everton.
That was years ago.
You're playing yeah. Everton, but yeah, what was that feeling like to score a goal on,
amazing,
on that level?
Amazing. Like I said, you know, I'm a fan of the game. I'm a fan of soccer, you know, growing up in America and having the opportunity to wake up in the morning and watching, you know, soccer on TV and all these things, going to school, playing in high school and college and just talking about soccer with your friends and having, you know, people you idolize, the Drogba, the Henry, you know, and all these people to finally, you know, when I get that phone call, you know, about six years ago yesterday in the deadline day of the transfers to say, hey, would you like to go play in England? It was a no-brainer, you know, and I went in there just excited and happy because I wasn't just playing for me. I was playing for, again, most of my friends back home that watch soccer and this. So when I played those games and I was very excited. So that day playing against Everton, I wasn't just excited to be in the Premier League. I was excited to say because I grew up, you know, watching Timmy play. You know, and then finally I get to play against him, you know, so it was like one of those, and I got lucky at the end of the day.
Okay. You're not going to say that to him, though.
No, not to him. Not
don't say that
he's
to
not going to watch this. You know, he's not even going to watch it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're excited to have you guys both on the same team. Do you feel like that time in England shaped your career in a different way?
I think it played a major role in my career. You know, coming into MLS, you know, I have to say, my first 4 years or so when I first started in MLS, it was kind of just, you know, I was still a rookie. I was a rookie for 4 years. That's how I look at it. You know, I was just enjoying playing Columbus for 2 seasons and going to San Jose and play there and a little bit of Houston, you know. But finally, I started to grow, like, when I moved into Kansas City. And when I did that, and then when I left and went to England, you know, my mind just went, this is football. This is soccer. And so I did that for a little bit, came back to Kansas City. When I went back in England, I learned even more and more in the Championship with Middlesbrough. Mm-hmm. And then finally coming back, it was just one thing in mind. I want to win a championship. Yeah. Going into Columbus, it was like, okay, second time around. Now I want to win the championship. Mm-hmm. We went in the way to the final. I've moved to a couple different teams from that, New England and Vancouver. It's the same mindset.
Right.
I want to win a championship because over there, they see everything. They have more pressure on them over there than we do here, you know, promotion and relegation. So the only pressure that we have here is the championship. And I feel like that's the only thing I'm missing. So it's not saying I'm coming to Colorado to come relax and have fun with the guys in the locker room. But I know they're all going to know that, hey, I'm missing something, and that's a championship. I don't have that yet. So if I'm being very, you know, I would say a nice word, very mean, you know, at training or at the game, you know, to some of the guys, they just have to know that it's, you know, I want to win a championship.
Focus,
and
challenge
it's not being, yeah, it's not being selfish, you know, to say it's just me, but if I push you and then you push me together, if we win it, we're all going to, you know, celebrate it well.
Celebrate for sure.
That's right.
I love that focus. And as a striker, focus is so key, right? Because you get little moments in every game where the opportunities come up, right? And to be the hero of these games. And now you are amongst 10 other players who have scored 100 goals in MLS. Yeah, right? Yeah. That's pretty cool to think about.
Yeah.
When you look at that list of players and your name is there, what feelings does that bring about? Or what do you think to yourself?
Just dreams come true.
Yeah.
It's simple. Dreams come true. You know, you dream it and you go outside and go for that 30-minute run. You know, when you're in that 30-minute run, there's a little bit of this that comes into you, like, you know, change up the gear, you know, go faster. You know, those little itches, it's like while you're doing it, you're thinking, this might be the 89th minute in the game. You know, you have to make the last run and do these things. So here comes a ball. You have to kick this ball. You know, just those little things. And to me, when I think about it, I don't really think about the amount of goals I've scored. I think about all those moments that I did those extra work before I became a professional. You know, not even while I'm a professional now, but it's before. And to be in the in such group of guys that, you know, that I watched before, you know, Edson Buddle, the Landon, as I'm saying, you know, there's many more, Jeff Cunningham and all those guys. But it's so special to say, yes, I'm in a club with those guys and there's so much more you can do. But I'm not, again, all that's nothing if you don't win a championship.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but I guess you make a lot of people happy by scoring a lot of goals and dancing a lot.
Yeah.
So
okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Okay, you've scored over 100 goals, right? Can you think of two or three that really stick out that you're like, oh, I love that one?
One goal.
One goal. Okay, one give goal. Me one.
My first ever goal, because it was my first goal, my first professional game as a professional, and it was with Kansas City Wizards.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. The Wizards.
Do you still have that kit?
I do have the kit, yeah. The Wizards. Against the Wizards, I'm sorry. I was playing for Columbus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, against the Wizards. So, yeah, and stuff like that memory. It's, I wanted to be a professional, and I'm finally a professional, and then I get to score a goal in my debut as a professional. So that's the biggest goal to me.
And you remember it.
Yes.
You remember scoring
it.
Yeah,
I kind of scuffed it, but it went in.
Hey, it all counts the same, right?
Yeah.
Now, since you only gave me one goal, I need three of your favorite goal celebrations, because you are known for quite some good sellies.
Yeah, no, I own up to my celebrations, because I have to make sure they're memorable.
Yeah.
I think number one, it has to be my Michael Jackson celebration.
Good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I kept those gloves for maybe like 2 weeks to make sure that those gloves came out one day.
I can just imagine that
I love celebrations also where I'm collaborating with some of the teammates, because I like to bring people out of their shells. You know, they say a lot of guys definitely have so much fun that they can give, but they're so, you know, they're holding back so much. So whenever I can celebrate, and most of my celebration, you know, has to be celebrating with somebody else, that I can go out, you know, we're dancing, we're doing something together, then I have to say those celebrations. I can't pick them now, because I'll be hurting a lot of guys, because I've done a few with a few guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave that as a surprise for the Rapids fans throughout the season, right? When you look and you start to think, and you have a smile on your face, right, thinking about these goals that you've scored, does it give you that fire within to keep notching your way up the list of those? That leaderboard?
Yeah, I think last year was one of the first time I said, it really doesn't matter how many goals I score anymore. You know, because, yes, maybe people say, oh, you're in the 100 club already. But me, it's not that. But it's really just the goals that makes the impact in games. Fine, not a problem. You know, they're bringing me here. I can be, you know, obviously selfish and saying, oh, I don't want to score goals. That's my job. That's why I'm here, you know, to score goals. And I want to make sure I'm connecting with the rest of the guys around me to help me score goals. Because when I do score that goal, you're the one that passed me that ball from that assist. You get, you know, there you go. You get your stats, and we're all happy at the end of the day. But if I'm able to connect again with Diego, with Benny, with Kellen, with, you know, everybody else around me, maybe it's a goal kick from, you know, from Timmy.
Yeah.
And all the way we go in and score, like those things, when you're able to connect more, make the goals more team goals now, then we'll be a lot more joyful at the end of the day in the locker room than saying, oh, we lost 3-2, I scored 2. Good job.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Doesn't matter
no,
then.
No, not anymore.
You.
Not anymore.
13th season coming up in MLS.
Is it? Yeah, in MLS. That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Does it seem like it just flew by, or like you're feeling that it's 13?
It flew by.
Yeah.
It flew by. Definitely flew by, because yeah, there's no way it could be 13.
Right? You've said a few times now, personal goal has to be winning that championship. Is that personal and team goal for you?
There's nothing else. I mean, again, I've won an Open Cup championship before. I played in the CONCACAF, you know, I played in England, played all these places, but played with really good players, played for really, you know, great coaches and all that. But again, at the end of the day, what am I going to take with me? There's memories I can take with me, but, you know, there's that one legacy that you want to leave behind. And, you know, it's not saying I'm done playing. I'm not done playing. Yes, you know, I'm still going to keep playing. But at the same time, when I have that drive in me still that I want to win something, then there's something to play for. You know, and hopefully that drive that I have in me, again, like I said, I can keep injecting that into, you know, the guy to my left and my right in the locker room so we can, you know, be in that same page so they don't take it personal. You know, I heard something, somebody was saying a quote about LeBron, that, you know, he's so harsh to everybody else. Actually, it was one of his good buddy, who's playing in Boston now, saying, you know, LeBron is so harsh to everybody else, but now he understands because he wanted greatness, you know. But sometimes people take that, you know, for granted because somebody's so harsh to you. You think they're just selfish, it's just about them. But no, it's because they want to win. It's a team thing. But when you comprehend that together, and then you realize that what they're doing is really just trying to help everybody else out. It's not just saying, give me the ball, I want to score. Because, yeah, I do want to score. But if I do score 2-3 goals, what happens? We win. That's 3 points.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah, I love the focus. I love the drive and, like, your vision for what's to come here in 2019. It's really exciting. I want to talk a little bit more about you, though, like who Kai is off the field, maybe. And I want to go back to...
Silly. No, I'm joking.
You are. You've got some personality. I want to talk about Sierra Leone, though, and how often you get to go back there and kind of tap into your roots there.
Yeah, I'm really, really connected to Sierra Leone. Obviously, born in Sierra Leone and left when I was 14, lived in the Gambia, a little country called Gambia, and before I moved to the U.S. at 16. And finally, when I started playing professionally, when I was 21, and finally, then I had the opportunity to actually raise, you know, a little bit of money to buy a plane ticket because it's kind of expensive to go back home.
I would imagine.
And then, so when I started to go back to Sierra Leone in 2006, in 2007, then I finally decided... I was like, you know what? I think I want to play for the national team here. Because if I do that, it will make me come back to Sierra Leone a lot more. And I started doing that in 2008. And that connection just kept building so much. I saw the joy from the people there. And knowing the fact that I grew up there and I left, and seeing the connection from professional athletes to the locals helped my relationship with them grow so much that I got involved in schools and saying, when we go around the schools and visit these kids, because it's the same things we do in America, but over there, there's less opportunities for kids in schools. And that was just it. I mean, yeah, don't want to say too much about it, but it makes me happy when I'm there and I'm doing these things and these kids are happy and they can remember that. So it just, you know, with my heart, and it just like fell into it. And there's no way I can go a full year without going back home, because when I do go, I feel like it's a refresh button, you know. Then when I do come back to America, it's like, hey man, don't be sad because somebody took your shoes, or your shoes is not this, like everything is good.
Did those visits start the Heart-Shaped Hands Foundation?
Those visits did start the Heart-Shaped Hands Foundation. Before, obviously, I launched the foundation, I was, you know, just giving my aids myself and just taking care of so much until somebody advised me, like, you don't have to just do that, you know, you can, there's people that, you know, like you and won't mind helping you. I was like, no, but I don't need them, you know. I was like, this is my people in Sierra Leone, let me help them out. But finally, in 2012, I did the Heart-Shaped Hand Foundation, which was obviously for my heart-shaped goal celebration and using my heart and my hands, giving back to the kids in Sierra Leone. And it's simple. It's simple. I'm giving back and making them feel like there's hope for them to whatever they want to do, and somebody out there, you know, thinks about them. You know, somebody out there is trying to help you out. And I try not to put my name behind a lot of things that I do, because I just don't want to be walking in the street and go, oh, Kai, you did that. No, so that's how I kind of do it.
Yeah, I love that. That's really cool. And I love the refresh button. Is there something else that you have to do when you go back to Sierra Leone? Like, when I go, I have to do everything. This. Everything.
Everything. Whoever follows me on Instagram or social media will see that. They're like, really? Like, you're everywhere. I'm everywhere. I'm playing street soccer. I'm going to the beach. I'm eating, you know, food out. I'm doing everything. I'm just hanging out with the people and just, like, just be normal. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're that, you know, I'm getting sunburned, too. Yeah, I do get sunburned. Yeah. getting all that. But everything. I do it all when I'm there.
You got to be pretty pumped too, because the national team just got reinstated. Is that, what does that mean
yeah,
to you?
I wish that. No, the national team.
No, but what does it mean to you as a veteran?
The country, the country, we finally, it's been over 5 years. Sierra Leone hasn't had an active, you know, soccer league going in the country.
Yeah.
And somebody like me, it's been, you know, fighting so much so that thousands of players back in Sierra Leone can get back to playing. And finally, when we know with the new, you know, government that all this has been approved now and it's back and people are playing soccer, I'm happy, like, because I know the struggle that is out there. You know, I gather up boots from the locker room, you know, and just, you know, 10, 20, 40 boots, and I send them back home. And now it's like they actually have teams and they have a league back on. So when I do that, it's not just telling the guys in the locker room, please give me your shoes, and I send it and it's out in the streets, but guys are playing in the in their Premier League that they're playing in the country, and they appreciate it.
Following you on social media, we get to see these things, right? We get to see you go back to Sierra Leone, and you have quite the presence, and your off-season seemed like it was pretty fun. You have some highlights from that?
Oh, surfing.
Surfing?
Yeah, and they said your phone, your iPhone is waterproof.
Is
it? So I wanted to surf and video it.
Did you test it out? Did it survive?
No.
All right. So don't try that at home.
So, that was one of my highlights because, you know, I love the fact that, so they had some people that went to Sierra Leone and they took surfboards and they started surfing. And all of a sudden, some of the kids from there, they started teaching them. And the next minute, this 8-year-old, you know, boys and girls, everybody's surfing. So I went into their neighborhood and I was like, I want to surf. So they got me on the board. I didn't stand up once, but just the fact that, you know, like that, they're reaching out and doing something extra than what people from Sierra Leone used to do before. So, and all those little things that they do, I'm appreciated that I'm able to do that. And then one more, I did a marathon that we did, and it was so amazing. You know, I was filming it and showing people, and all proceeds from that was going to like an orphanage and those things. And then when we got there to the finish line, people didn't know it was me because I was wearing a mask. I was covered, you know.
You ran a marathon.
Yeah, I ran it. It was fun. Fun stuff. She come
great
out
off there. Season.
90 degree weather.
That's a hard pass for me, but thanks for the insight. I don't run here, let alone in 90 degree
this
weather.
This is great. It's snowing and it's sunny.
It's snowing and it's sunny.
You can't complain.
Yeah. Your personality really shows on social media. Uh-huh. Well, I want to know Kai's keys to like having a good social presence.
Music.
Add music to.
Music. Okay. Add music to your life.
To your life always.
Dance a lot.
Okay.
Just dance it off. Yeah. Whenever you have problems, just dance
it off.
You
poke fun at some people too.
I do. I try. I mean, come on, life is good. That's how I look at it. I just say, you know, I mean, we can't just do all, and I do too, but try to forget about it a lot more. But my social media is really just to show people I'm just you. You know, we're all normal. We're all just the same. I do the same stuff. You know, I do just normal stuff that you do. So why, you know, I don't have to just, you know, show you the most beautiful things that we do as professional athletes, but you know, you have to see that I'm washing my car.
Yeah.
You know,
going to the grocery store.
I'm walking my dog. Yeah. And this happened, you know. So little things like that.
Good. Yeah. Well, we're gonna wrap up here, but do you think we should use social media to like plug this and say, hey, people, come and watch.
People, come and watch.
This camera. Should we use our social?
This is not sponsor or nothing. She's just forcing me to do this. So where are we at? Tell them.
We're at Queen City Collective Coffee. We've got a fun interview coming for you at Colorado Rapids.
It's only fun because I'm in it. You know that, right? And these guys too. One. Oh, where is it? That guy and that guy.
Just a normal day, right?
Yeah. We're out.
Sweet. Kai, thank you so much.
I like that. That was fun.
Thanks for hanging.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I guess I get to see you a lot.
You'll see me often.
Hey, come on.
You'll see me often. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Kick some ball around. Maybe a crossbar challenge or something.
I do that.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay, perfect.
I might like that.